welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
Yeah, I just want to start with an update on the recall against Seattle Socialist Mayor Katie Wilson. So the citizens that filed it have voluntarily rescinded it for now, although they're trying to figure out an attorney and stuff like that, so they could refile it at a different date. But do you think it's a good idea for her to be recalled after just not even a year on the job? Or should we let them, would you rather they get what they voted for good and hard?
100%. Yep. Given what they voted for good and hard. That's why I've been against the roulette. I didn't want to say it too loud because people are like, what's wrong with you? They voted her in. I haven't seen anything from her, to be fair, that should qualify her for, she is doing, hey, give her credit. She's fulfilling her campaign promises.
Right.
She's doing exactly the stuff she said she was going to do. She's producing the exact kind of outcomes. Hey, they applauded her just a couple months ago when she waved goodbye to businesses. Now we're going to recall her because businesses are leaving. Like what?
And look, I feel that way. Like in my heart, I'm like, yeah, let them have it. But don't we all then get it as well? Because like Seattle is the economic engine of the state, and what happens in Seattle and businesses deciding to leave, it impacts every single one of us. So doesn't it ultimately just hurt us if we allow Seattle to suffer with the socialist for four more years?
Yes, it does. It hurts all of us, but it hurts us far less than, look, I personally believe we're at a point in time where in state, now nationally speaking, I think it's a little bit different, but you know, and I hope I'm wrong, but my feeling on it is we're at a point where there is only one tonic for this communist socialist thing that's going around, and that's socialist and communist policies. Meaning I don't think, right? And we're not going to, like when we're thinking about the purple haired people on the left that are sitting there saying I should make 150 grand a year and not have to do anything all day, we're never going to convince those people, right? But you will convince the 27, 28, and 29-year-olds that are looking for a job and watch these policies come down and watch companies flee, right?
Yeah.
You will convince the middle ground folks. And that's what we've got to do. And what all too often conservative policies or smart policies have been all about anesthetizing everybody from socialist light type policies, taking the sting out of them. And I think that's a road to perdition. I think that you're bidding against yourself and eventually you're going to end up precisely where you're trying not to go.
Yeah.
So I think the other thing I'll say, democratically speaking, I think she's a very good reflection of the electorate in Seattle.
You're not lying.
I don't see the grounds for it. And I'm not going to be exactly what I hate on the other side, where just because I don't like somebody and disagree with them, I'm going to label them a criminal and say they should be pulled out of office. And I know there's not criminal allegations against her, but she was voted. I believe in the democratic process. I don't see anything that qualifies her for getting recalled.
Well,
I just don't.
Just to be fair, though, the process to remove her is democratic as well. I mean,
right.
Voters
yeah,
have
right.
to remove her. So in that sense, it's not like the government coming after us and we don't have any recourse whatsoever. My only thought
but Brandy, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off, but from my point, if you're somebody that voted for her, what are you not happy with?
No, I totally agree. Like this is who she was, and you knew she had no experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like,
I agree with that. But in terms of stopping the momentum of socialists, I do feel like if this Nepo baby socialist, which that seems to be a lot of socialists, like they're Nepo babies who just, you know, get out there and rise for whatever reason. If you have one of them fail in such spectacular fashion and is ousted in one of the most progressive places on earth, doesn't that really set the socialist movement back in and of itself?
You know, I really hadn't thought about it from that angle. So, here's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
You and I both know anybody that wants her recalled, I will bet dollars to cents that 2.5 to 3 years from now, those reasons are going to be substantially more.
Yeah.
Right? That stack is going to be considerably higher. So in my mind, in terms of thinking about what is the greatest good over the longest period of time for this area and that city, when you put it that way, I can see more benefit in getting her recalled. I'm still of the mind, though, that give her full term.
I know.
Let's feel the full weight of it and then let people make a decision. You know, I when you've gone that far, I mean, we elected somebody that's 44 years old, that is a self-confessed socialist/communist that's never had a job. that ride should last longer than 12 months.
Okay.
You know?
It's my heart and my head pulling me in different directions on this.
I know.
But we'll find out. You and I have both been skeptical that there's enough there for a judge to deem that this can move forward, but we'll find out. All right. President Trump says, we don't need Canada anyway. Another tariff war with Canada, which I always worry about in a border state. Because I do worry about economic impacts with trade and with tourism if they feel like the president is bullying them or whatever it is. First of all, do we need Canada?
Yes. Okay. I mean, we need them far less than they need us.
Yes.
But like, if we broke off all economic ties with Canada, would we feel reverberations and discomfort here? Yes.
Okay.
It would not be a painless exercise for us. Would it be anywhere close to that? No. I mean, so if you think about the new tariffs that President Trump just increased by 50%, that only covers about $20 billion worth of transactions between the two countries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then take a step back. $20 billion represents 1% of Canada's GDP. So, and what about, I want to say something like 65 to 70% of their trade is with us.
Mm.
So, to them, it would be devastating. But this is a really interesting situation, and it's one that I don't have a clear read on, because I think there's two different ways that you can go about looking into this. First, I think offhand, and of course, everything that the media around us is going to be the picture they're going to paint, is that Trump is being bombastic and crazy and all this kind of stuff. As it relates to everything that we've done with China, had I been in President Trump's shoes, I would have approached it from a significantly different angle and far more privately, because they're fully aware of the leverage we have on them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sorry, you said China, but you're talking about Canada.
Yes, Canada. Sorry. They're fully aware of the leverage that we have on them. And so I think it would have been more effective coming from President Trump had he spoken more softly in public, had he spoken more softly in public, you can argue that Carney wouldn't even be in his position right now.
Yeah.
And so I think that he's messed some stuff up there. The flip side is that there's some theories floating around out there that I cannot disqualify from this point. And that it sounds like, and again, we're still parsing through and we're operating on partial information here, but it sounds like we were making pretty realistic that we were right down to the point of cutting a deal, and that we'd come to a lot of terms and offered them a lot of the stuff that they wanted. And Carney just pulled almost with no reason and no warning at the last second. And there's some theories floating around that Carney is doing that, hoping to really impact the midterm elections.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you understand who Mark Carney is, you cannot take that off the table.
I agree.
And especially when you look at the timing of this, right? Because look, Trump is under significant fire for what's going on in Iran. In my opinion, rightfully so. I thought it was a mistake from the very beginning. And I hate the Iranian regime, want them gone too. I just thought that 6.5 months later, we'd still be sitting here with the strait closed. Hence we are. Okay. So, but when you look at this, this is a perfect time for Carney to pull that move and paint Trump as being, oh, we had to pull back because he's doing the same thing to us he did to Iran, right? That's kind of, if I had to lean one side or the other, I think this is more about Carney playing politics than it is President Trump blowing things up. Now, again, I'm operating on a very small percentage of the information like we all are, so that could be wrong. But, you know, I've been critical about the Iran thing. I think this Canadian situation is more on Carney. Carney is the ultimate globalist, right? If he can't go to Davos with his head held high every year and get invited to the right cocktail parties, he's crying himself to sleep at night.
Devastating.
And so, yeah. And I mean, we all know the globalist cabal is not a fan of Trump, right? So that seems right in line with Carney. And I think if you had to peg it one way, or you had to call it one side or the other right now, I think this is more about Carney playing politics.
Yeah, I mean, really anything when you get 3 months from the midterm election, I don't trust the motivations of anybody doing anything. I do love that you think Trump should have spoke more softly in public. How many, that's the least likely thing that Trump would ever do and has ever done.
What I'm saying is I just think from a strategic standpoint, when you have so much leverage over a trading partner, the leverage is implied. And I just don't think you need to echo it. And I think it can do things like muddy the waters.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, for him, it did. You know, I think you could sit there and say how nice they are and they're our friends and they're key to our progress going forward, and behind the scenes, look at them and go, listen, this is what we want and we're not taking less.
Yeah. The leverage is implied. I like that. And so just so people know, the tariffs, U.S. imposed 50% tariffs on Canadian goods such as wine, furniture, dairy products. And then the president also threatened new 50% tariffs starting the 1st of January 2027 on Canadian cars, trucks, auto parts, and steel. So hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but we'll see what happens here. So I agree. I think that that maybe if that's the motivation for Mark Carney, then this will continue through the midterm election. All right. A little watchdogging. Construction companies are saying, surprise, surprise, that the millionaire's tax is slowing business. Very strange. I don't really know that. I don't know if I believe them. So a Seattle architecture firm says because of uncertainty over is the tax going to survive? Will voters repeal it? What's going to happen? That he already has clients canceling projects before, like 3 years before it's even going to take effect. They're like, cancel the projects. And their revenue has already fallen more than 50% in recent months, and they've had to lay people off.
Yep.
I mean, isn't it funny? This is not a surprise to anybody.
That's the looniest thing to me is that people thought you were going to do this and that people weren't going to leave. I just, we've said from the very beginning, when you're talking about New York and California, there's a lot of high earners that can't leave. They can't. That's not the case here. There is no mandatory business in this state, if you own it, road construction, things like that. There's some construction business, but when you think about how, think of how many businesses out there can be effectively run from almost anywhere. Those people are not just going to stay there and pay extra hundreds of thousands of dollars to have sunlight, to have sun 5 months out of the year. And then more importantly, and this is the thing that I still don't hear people understand this has not gotten through. For people that own businesses, as pernicious and unpalatable as that tax and that payment is per year, I'm telling you, a bigger concern for high earners that are operating businesses here is the opacity. If this bill stands, the opacity and the unknowns of the legal system in our state. If you own substantial assets, I don't know what the rules are. You just violated the Constitution. You just did it in a way that is illegal, right? Like if you wanted to, from the very beginning, you've said this, I've said this. Look, if you want to go about passing an income tax, there's a legal way to do it. And you, not only is it an illegal income tax, you've done it completely illegally. Everything about it's illegal. You're lying on the ballots that explain the measure. Every part about it is illegal. If you, and I just look at people and I go, if you lived in this state and you owned a $10, $20, $50, $100 million business, the value of it, and you saw the government do that, would you keep your most valuable asset here? Like, if you're going to play by the rules and I don't like the rules you passed, that's one thing, right?
Right.
Because at least I know I've got to hedge here the rule. When you're doing these kinds of things and completely disavowing the law in the process, I'm an idiot if I stay here, right? What am I going to do? Wait till you take my business from me? I mean, oh, they'd never do that. That's against the law.
They want to take private property from landlords who don't steward it in the public interest. I mean, to your point, we're actually not even really very far from that reality.
No. I mean, they are illegally, and this is not hyperbolic. They are illegally intending to seize roughly 8.3% of my annual income. That's what they're going after, right? So if that's what they're doing, how can I sit here and say that, oh, I'll be protected from this or I'll be protected from that? Yeah, I mean, like, so somebody comes into your house and steals your TV and they go, this is it. We're never going to take anything else. What, are you going to believe them and keep leaving your front door unlocked?
Yeah.
No. You're going to go get a security system. You're probably going to buy a gun. You're going to get a deadbolt.
And,
you know?
To your point about the kind of businesses that can leave and the ones that can't, like, because I'm thinking a lot of kind of blue collar type businesses. So you've got people who, they've built a clientele here, for instance, and that would be really hard to replicate overnight in some other state, that come out and provide service to people's homes or whatever it is. And those are the people who this is pass-through income for them. They're not millionaires. They're running a blue-collar business. They're out there. They're doing the hard work in our communities. They're not rich people, and they don't have the ability to pick up and start over somewhere else where someone like you, who is, I'm assuming, a millionaire, you can move your business if you'd like. And so it's almost like they think they're hurting, oh, the rich, horrible people, whatever it is. It's like, no, the people who are going to be left suffering are the blue-collar, small business owners. Yeah. Who actually can't flee from this.
Oh, yeah. And that's always the case, right? Like, yeah. I mean, that's what's ridiculous is when you're trying to pass. And the funny thing is that this, like I've said from the very beginning, when you understand, you know, I've had the privilege of being around several billionaires and calling a few of them good personal friends. Most of these people don't pay income tax anyway. They live on asset-backed loans against their asset base and because of tax efficiency and all that other kind of stuff. And so billionaires are not going to be impacted by this tax unless they want to be, full stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only people that are going to be forcibly inject or forcibly extracted of this money are construction companies, companies that provide services or jobs for the blue collar folks that cannot leave. Those are the only ones that are going to pay this. That will directly impact equipment purchases, property leases, commercial real estate, employment, all those things. And so as is always the case, the people that can leaving will cost me virtually nothing, right? Nothing. It's me putting my laptop in my briefcase and heading to Idaho or Arizona or wherever I want to go.
Yeah.
My income doesn't stop. I don't even miss a paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it's the whole thing is absurd. You're taking away people that are providing. I mean, you know, everybody knows the rant and raves and all the stuff that we've gone on. The one thing that I do see, though, is that maybe it's me just being too optimistic, but I am seeing more and more people that would traditionally be qualified or considered to be on the moderate left or in the center sitting there going, boy, the bad consequences are already starting to make themselves really known here. I see more people who are on the hard left side asking questions as opposed to attacking people that are citing this information. And so I'm really starting to see the tide turn here a little bit. And look, for the sake of the state that you and I both love, I hope they wake up. Because like I've said from the beginning, man, I'm not going to talk tough. I don't want to leave. When they say that we don't want to leave, they're right about that.
Yeah.
When they say we won't, that's where they're wrong.
Well, yeah. I mean, Katie Wilson, I think it's overblown, she says. I pray to God it's overblown, but we're already seeing in real time. I mean, they have the benefit, and the people who are, you know, going to be able to vote in November, you have the benefit of watching in real time the beginning of what will only speed up if this thing stays in effect.
Look, I know that you're going to echo this, and I know you've seen the exact same thing. Okay. I can't tell you exactly what those numbers are. You're going to throw out your estimates of how many people will leave. I'm going to throw out my estimates. Here's what I can tell you. From somebody that is deeply involved, entrenched, and invested in the effort to repeal this income tax, I can tell you one of the biggest challenges we're facing is getting people not to leave and to stay and fight. So,
and to stay and vote. Yeah.
Right. That should tell you all you need to know. We are spending as much time asking people to get in the fight as we are asking people to hold on. We've still got time. Don't leave yet. Like, And to this point, it has surprised me on that side, meaning I figured more people would wait and see how this played out. I mean, you can hear the flushing sound, and it is aggressive. And the other thing that scares me is, remember, that deal does not go effect into 2028. If this thing stands and you think the numbers of people leaving look bad now, wait till you see what 27 looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. Because to your point, there are still a lot of people who are going to wait and see, who are hopeful and all of that. But as soon as if people vote no and reject the initiative or the legal challenge doesn't hold out, I mean, that's it. And, you know, to this architect saying, you know, we're down 50% already. I mean, just look at 37% vacancy rate was the latest numbers in downtown Seattle. How long do you think it's going to be before a developer decides to build something new in Seattle? There's already a 37% vacancy rate. Nobody's going to be putting up any new buildings anytime soon.
No, you can't.
No.
You can't buy. I mean, look, we've needed to buy. We realistically, for tax purposes and everything, we need to buy an office building.
Hmm.
I need to buy an office building. I've gone and looked at several of them. I have not pulled the trigger because I cannot pull that trigger until I see what happens to this bill.
Yep.
If this income tax stays, we may not for sure be leaving, but I can promise you we won't be buying an office building. Why? Give it 2 years. Whatever price they're asking for now will be worth less. And here's the other thing. If they compound that mistake by charging a vacancy tax, it will result, and which is why I don't think they'll do it. I think somebody will get to them before they do it. But what you'll probably have in that scenario, even if you want to buy something, you won't get a bank to finance. Yeah. The bank won't lend to you. If you're going to pass a vacancy, there's no bank that's going to lend on that.
Yeah, I just don't know why anybody would make an investment like that.
You wouldn't.
When you can't fill it with anybody. So you're just going to sit there and take loss after loss. That makes literally no sense. I just can't believe that I can't believe there's so many people who don't understand that were worried that the income tax won't be repealed. In any sane universe, it wouldn't have been passed, but it would be like, oh yeah, no brainer. People are going to vote against it. Obviously, this is economic disaster and collapse waiting to happen. But yeah, I don't know.
Look at people still wearing masks.
True. You know, Zach? That's a good point.
It's you and I are people that want to see data and rely on facts and all that kind of stuff. You look around today and there's not a day that doesn't go by where I am not stunned by the stupidity I hear in somebody else, you know,
look at the
and not stupidity in the way that like, I disagree with you, so you're stupid. Stupidity in the way that like you spell cat C-H-I-N-G. And I'm like, that's just not how you spell cat. Dude. Sorry.
No. You know? Yeah. You know, and it's like, it's a good point because the number of people who still think men can be become women is also astonishing on a daily basis.
So hey, did you see what to that? Oh, no, I saw gosh. A doctor. I saw a quote unquote doctor respond to J.K. Rowling tweet saying, how silly. She doesn't understand biology. It's the female brain that makes you female. And I'm sitting there going, let me know where this woman practiced medicine so I never get sick there, for God's sake.
More and more. I mean, this is not a joke. So I went in for a routine medical procedure and I get to the hospital, which shall remain unnamed. And I'm checking in and there's this form on the front desk that you're supposed to fill out. Zach, I'm not kidding. It had like 30 different types of pronouns and stuff that you could identify as. And had it not taken so long to schedule that exam, I looked at my husband and I'm like, I want to leave. Because I'm just like, if they don't know that this is fiction, I know we're way off far afield, why would I want them probing around in my body? You know, I'm just like, and I mean, I'm looking for this. Now we're going really far afield, but I got my eyebrows tattooed on like 7-8 years ago. Okay. Worst thing I've ever done. I hate it now and I want to get it removed. But now I'm in there thinking like, oh no, what if I go to one of these places and they got a trans flag up and are talking about men can be women. And I'm like, I don't want them touching my face. So now I'm trying to like anybody in any medical service. I'm just like, I need to know whether you think men can be women or I got to leave.
Oh, I know. It's almost it's become like a Turing test almost, right? Yeah. Like just sit there saying, if you can't do this, then you don't have the cognitive ability to be a human being.
Yeah.
And if you don't know the answer to that, then and some of the signs, I saw one that was put up the other day, Sophie Cunningham sucks at basketball and biology. And I'm sitting there going, what? Yeah.
You know,
we're living in crazy town, man.
If the initiative to protect girls' sports doesn't pass, that might be my final straw. That because then it's like truth does not matter in the state of Washington anymore. I've got to go.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see that one goes down because it's just remarkable to watch. You know, even with things politically that you used to disagree with, there would be like a grain of truth at the very least. And when you see this stuff, it's just being made up out of whole cloth. Oh, these invasive medical procedures.
Genital
like
exams.
I said, I had to turn to the left and cough when I was in fifth grade to play football. Like, what are we talking about? Like, it's just built on complete lies. Well, and people just buy it.
And that's the side that wants to, like, cut off kids' genitals. You're worried about invasive genital something. Like, I can't think of anything more invasive than chopping them off.
You're right.
What were we talking about? How did we get on this?
we can't have genital exams, but permanent sterilization at the age of 12 is A-okay.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing invasive about that. I don't remember what we're talking about. I think it's time to go. Zach Abraham, thank you so much.
Agreed. Thanks for having me.